Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Jess, I'm going to welcome someone into the studio. Mm-hmm. You know him because he works here, but people that are listening might not. They might have met him at events. Gus from the promotions team. G'day, Gus.
Hello.
Good to see you. Now, I've invited Gus in here because he was telling me a story that just had me LOLing.
And
as a younger member
rolling
of the team.
Rolling on the floor?
I was a Rufflecopter. Yeah. I almost flew out of the stratosphere.
Gus is very young. Have you even heard of Rufflecopter, Gus?
I haven't heard of Rufflecopter, no. I do know LOL, yeah.
What, do you know LMFAO?
I do know LMFAO. What's the copter?
People would just say, so Ruffle would be rolling on the floor laughing. But and then you would just add a helicopter
for some reason
to it.
Say helicopter at the end, yeah. Interesting. Anyway, Gus, haven't
I
got you in here.
Never feel so old.
Haven't got you in
that's
here.
That's when I hang out with Gus.
To talk about the exciting highs of our youth. You were telling a story that I thought was quite funny. And I feel like this happens to a lot of people. So I wanted you to come on the show and share it.
Well, this was in primary school. And I'll set the scene a little bit. It was before you had to go to the toilet with a partner. So solo doing a toilet run during class.
Is that something that happens at all schools now? You've got to go like a wee buddy.
Yeah, you got to take a buddy to the toilet.
Oh, my word.
100%.
Okay, yep. All right. Yep. I mean, I guess
the teacher can't be taking the kids to the toilet every 5 minutes, Jim.
Couldn't you just go? I just remember going by myself.
Children?
Yeah.
Like, it's 2025. By themselves.
Yeah, like I was like, hi, I'm Tim, I'm 7, I know how to wee, can I go and do it? And
they were
like,
well, they don't help you go to the toilet. It's just more just to get there and then they'll stand at the front.
So you were safe. It's safety in numbers, Tim.
No, I just went to a good school, hey.
Okay.
Safe school. Anyway.
Anyway.
So you're dangerous school where you need to be chaperoned at all times.
And I was kind of walking around and just running my hands across walls and then decided to stick my pinky into a little hole in a gate and it didn't come out. Just didn't come out.
This is the middle of class.
Yeah, just like while class is going on, and this isn't lunchtime or anything, so there's no one out in the schoolyard.
This is why you take a buddy.
Right.
His buddy could have run and gotten helped him.
I genuinely,
now he's stuck in a wall.
I assumed the worst. Like I assumed, as soon as it went in, I was like, I'm here forever. Yeah. There's no chance I'm getting out.
When you're in primary school, that's a fair process of thought there. But can you share how you got out of this tricky situation?
Well, I had to wait until the teacher became concerned enough to go, well, he hasn't returned to class yet. Mm-hmm. And then they brought out the oil, the lubricant. And
they oiled you out.
They oiled me out of there.
Oh, my God. You would have been the talk of the school.
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
I love it. And so his finger got stuck in a wall and they had to oil him out. Was it close to the CFA rocking up with the jaws of life to cut your hand off?
Yeah, I felt not cut the hand off. I think they would go the gate first. But there was a bit of like the first teacher came out and tried it and went, oh, okay, I'm just gonna get
stuck,
someone else.
Oh, because no one wants to yank it out in case they break your finger.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, you don't want to degloving. Worst case scenario, you deglove a
don't
student.
Don't say the word deglove.
Well, I told you this, Tim. I'm now scared of rings.
I
can't wear rings.
Really?
Because of, the degloving, and that I'll just be stuck in a ring forever.
Well, you won't. Your finger skin will be.
Yes,
Yeah.
So, really scared of rings. Sorry, Geordie, my partner.
that's
what he tells us. Yeah. Can't possibly propose. Scared of rings.
What we wanted to do, I was inspired by Gus because I thought it was a good story. 5223295 Where'd your finger get stuck? Hand, foot.
Yeah.
Where did a body part get stuck? Did you have to get someone to remove you? I want stories of people putting their hands up those machines.
My brother's head got stuck in the banisters, at my auntie and uncle's house once, because he shoved his head through and then he couldn't get it back out again. So Mum had to oil up his ears so we could shove him through.
Do they have separate oil for when the kids' heads got stuck in the banisters? Excellent. All right. Well, Gus, appreciate you coming in here. I was going to give you my wedding ring, but I don't want you to cry in the studio. I think that would be pretty scary. 5223295 Where'd you get stuck?
And sometimes kids, they just want to put their fingers in things.
Adults
right?
can get stuck in stuff too.
Yeah,
because sometimes, don't you ever see a hole and you're like, in? I don't know. Just me.
Maybe
could just be me.
Sam in Hamlin Heights, you as a kid got a bit curious.
Yep, I certainly did.
Where'd you get stuck?
Well, there's the old washing machines that had the actual the spindles on the very top of them. They had two rubber, and the clothes would go through to actually would dry it out. So I went, oh, I wonder what would happen if my fingers were in there. Like, crimped. Yeah, so I just basically put my fingers in there and it sort of dragged it in and squashed my fingers, ripped off a few layers of skin, and I ripped it back out. Went, oh, that's not a good spot to leave it.
Yeah, no, definitely probably, not a good spot.
No, Sam, yeah.
No.
Bet you never did it again, no. though, Sam.
Well, yeah, there was no water on my fingers afterwards.
Oh. Yeah, fair enough. Just dripping blood. Just dripping blood. Thank you very much, Sam. Nicole in Grovedale, your son got stuck. Tell us about it.
Yes. So my second of my two boys, the most mischievous one out of them, was in a classroom at school one day and somehow stumbled backwards and fell backwards in between a wall and a heater and got stuck there wedged. He was not coming out and wedged at the hips. But he was, like, sitting down in this, like,
crouch.
It was so weird the way that he'd fallen.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so I get a call from the school and they say, so, by the way, we don't quite know how to tell you this, but your son's stuck. I'm like, okay, I'm on my way, thinking, oh, yeah, you know, we'll get him out. It'll be fine. And I arrive to the school and there's fire trucks and ambulances and police and everybody's there. And it was a whole big emergency response to actually remove the heater from the wall to be able to get him out.
Because I was going to say, I'm picturing one of those classic school metal heaters with that gap between the wall. And he just folded in half, like at the hips, and his knees were up to his chest kind of situation.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Nicole, how much of you was concerned and how much of you thought it was a little bit funny?
Yeah, like where's the parenting come in there?
Time when I sort of saw all the emergency services up I'm like, oh, this isn't quite right, and I kind of get into the room, and I mean, I laugh about it now, but like this kid seriously gives me grey hairs because of what the mischief that he gets up to.
How long was he stuck there for?
I reckon it was a good sort of. It felt like a long time, but it was probably about an hour.
It's a long time to not be able to get out of
the school's still probably talking about it, though. Everyone got to see the fire trucks.
You're like, remember when we used to have heaters off the wall? No, not anymore. Not after Declan.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
This morning on the Brekkie Show, Tom, Lingy and Loggie spoke to Cram, the drummer and, I guess, lead singer of Spiderbait, who are doing Lookout. They're going to be at Torquay Common, I think, March 22.
Yeah.
We spoke to Cameron Muncy from Jet yesterday. The Veronicas are going to be there. Grinspoon's going to be there.
It's such a huge lineup.
Torquay Common, more like Torquay's a rockin'.
Okay.
That bass line's going for a walk, I tell you right now. Do-do-do-do. Anyway.
Do you regret doing that?
Yeah, I do. I'm so glad this isn't a visual medium because I was...
No, it looked really cool.
Yeah, I was really taking that bass for a walk. Anyway, there was a part of the chat. Tom and Log, I was around this morning and they were chatting and they were like, oh, I know you guys spoke to Cam from Jet, but we're going to speak to Cram.
Mm.
Cam v. Cram. It's a classic situation. and they were like, oh, have you ever wanted to ask Cram anything? And I was like, oh, well... There was a song that I really wanted to be my wedding song.
Oh,
in 2020,
like the song your first dance song.
No, initially I wanted it to be like walking down the aisle song.
Right,
I want a Spider-Man song for my wife. Then she was like, "I've got something else in mind." I was like, "Fair enough." And I was like, "I wanted it as the entrance one, like we're a couple." Nah, that got vetoed. Wanted the band to play it. No.
How many decisions did you get to make for your wedding?
I was there. Now, actually, to my wife's chagrin, I was more involved than I needed to be. but the song that I, and like we love Spiderbait, obviously. But.
Is this the song?
No, that's not the song. This, you'll understand it. And it's to me, it's.
Okay,
like
set the scene for me.
All right.
You guys are going to be announced as husband and wife.
All right. Here we go. So like there's the mics go down. Yep. Everything's going.
Please welcome Mr. and Mrs. Bulk.
Yes. Hailing from Piercedale, Victoria, Tim! And summoning herself from Mount Gambier, South Australia, his now wife, Jess!
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's like excellent. To me, it's like a wrestler's theme song.
Yeah.
And I was saying, we just didn't get it involved in the wedding. They actually brought it up with Cram this morning.
No way.
And the thing I love about it, so my wife, her name is Jess also.
Yeah.
It's been a fun couple of years of that being a crossover. But
you also often go, wife Jess.
Wife Jess, work Jess. I know that if you and I ever stop doing a radio show together, I have neon lights, merchandise with branded as Tim and Jess that I can just go, well, it makes sense for me to keep them. My wife's name's Jess. These are all mine.
Yeah.
I've already listened to this. I think this is the flip side. This is a good opportunity for the marketing of the Tim and Jess radio show.
Oh.
Thanks to Cram from Spiderbait. Let's have a listen.
Just quickly, I don't know if you've ever met Tim, one of our drive announcers, but we were talking to him about the fact that we were catching up with you this morning, and he mentioned that he has always wanted to tell you that he really tried to get Shazam over the line as his wedding song.
Mm.
Because he just thought be baller. He thought it'd be so baller at least to have it as their sort of entrance song or something. But he got shut down for pretty much everything. He wasn't even allowed to have the band play it. And finally he settled for listening to it in the car on the way home.
From the wedding. You should have done it. Should have done a string quartet version.
I know. Like that,
you know, just to trick them. Some guys want bangers at their weddings and some get shut down. But that was it's a nice gesture, so tell him thanks a lot. I'm sorry.
Well.
I hope the wedding was lovely.
If you do play it on stage at the festival, just say, this one's for Tim.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Everyone will know what you
mean. This is for Tim. Yeah. And what's Tim's wife's name?
Jess.
What's your partner's name?
Tim and Jess.
Jess? This is for Tim and Jess. Long time coming, wedding silence.
So besides them mentioning that we're married, I think it's a great plug for the Tim and Jess show. Don't you reckon? Because here's the thing. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be going to look out with my wife.
So stunning.
It'll be a nice surprise moment for her and me. But then like selfishly, business.
And then you can
yell
out, 3 to 6pm.
Yeah. So I think Cram's doing us a solid there, promoting the show on K-Rock. Yeah. And the love of my life, my wife.
Really, really great that you decided to marry another Jess. Well done.
It's finally paid off. I knew it's taken 5 years, but we got there.
This is Tim and Jess.
Once a week, we set aside some time, whether we're having a disagreement, we've seen a disagreement online, something in the news, or people have sent them in at K-Rock Geelong. We settle them in this beautiful, sacred space.
Tim and Jess. You are about to enter the K-Rock courtroom of Tim and Jess. The cases are real. The stories aren't always important. The rulings are final. This is your courtroom. You be the judge.
Court is in session. Jess, how does this usually work?
Yes, usually we will take an argument that you and I have been having, or maybe someone has written in about.
Wherever it's
come
from.
And we will battle it out. One person calls up on 52232955. They are the judge. They have the final say.
Yeah, whatever they say becomes law across Geelong, Surf Coast and the Bellarine.
Yes, but today I have a bit of a dilemma that's been going around the office, Tim.
Yep. I said to you at the start of the show, I'm worried that I might not care about this because other people's petty disagreements I don't mind. But I do like to get in on grand debates.
How do you feel about the humble Arnott's wagon wheel?
I haven't had one in a while. Someone said the words wagon wheel to me the other day and I went looking for them in the...
Oh, they smell so good.
In the chocolate section. I couldn't find any. Turns out
they're
I was
biscuit.
Looking in the wrong section. So now, I haven't had one in years.
The Arnott's wagon wheel are described as choc-coated marshmallow and jam snacks.
All things I love.
Right? I want you to take one of those.
All right.
The reason that I bring this to the court today is because Aldi have what they call cartwheels.
Oh, it's the same thing.
Yep. Well, it's a marshmallow and raspberry filled filling sandwich between two biscuits coated with real milk chocolate.
So the structure's a little bit different on the inside.
Apparently so. But one of the ladies in our office is claiming that cartwheels are better than wagon wheels.
Okay.
Now, they do look very different. Okay. Like, on face value alone, wagon wheels seem to be thinner.
Well, they're a popular brand.
But larger in circumference.
All right.
Whereas a cartwheel looks thicker.
Okay.
And it looks like it's got more of a milk chocolate rather than a dark chocolate.
Right.
So, I just want you to, like, take a bite of each biscuit.
I've closed my eyes and I've started shuffling them around.
Okay.
I don't know what's what. So, you have to look at what I've got, Jess, and you're going to have to tell me.
I know which one this is. Yep. Okay. He's taking a bite. Oh. Sorry to anyone who doesn't like hearing people chew. Talk us through your findings, Tim.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
I've lost the other one. Where's the other one? That's my mouse. Where's the other one? There's the other one. All right. Mm-hmm. We're going in for the second one now. So not second bite of the first one, second biscuit.
What are your thoughts?
Initially, I think I liked the first one better, whatever that was.
Oh, okay.
I'll have to go back in.
Now, the biscuit that Tim picked up first was the cartwheel.
So I think I like the cartwheel better.
Right. Now, I did put us up on our socials.
It's a lighter chocolate than the wagon wheel.
Ah, and you're not a big chocolate guy.
No, these are my favourite type of chocolate, though. Okay. The biscuits,
Swallow.
It's like why I like chocolate royales.
Sure.
Because it's mostly not chocolate.
It's biscuit.
And marshmallow. And sticky stuff.
At K-Rock Geelong, you can go and vote. About 67% of our listeners, the jury on at K-Rock Geelong, are saying that wagon wheels are better. So,
I don't know, blind taste test. I'm liking the cartwheel. Sorry.
Swallow, bro.
Yeah, that's bad.
52232955. Give us a call.
Yeah.
Wagon wheels or cartwheels?
Yeah, what's better?
Essentially the same biscuit.
Sorry, I have had another bite.
Which is better? You didn't have to finish the whole biscuit.
I thought that was the point.
Wagon wheels or cartwheels? You be the judge. You have the final say. Yeah.
Will we? I mean, I hate to speak out of school here, but for whoever calls up, whatever they say, can we just buy them?
We'll give them whatever they like. Yeah. I'm hoping they go for a cartwheel because they were very much cheaper.
Okay, yeah. Give us a call. Whoever the judge is, you can have whatever one you think it is.
You have so much chocolate in your teeth.
Well, I've had two in about 2 minutes. So
during the song just then, I also did a taste test of the two biscuits. And there is a significant difference. Very similar biscuit.
Yeah.
I think the chocolate in the Aldi cartwheel is far superior to the Arnott's wagon wheel.
Yeah, so that's essentially the same thing, different products. Knockoff, cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So far, you and I both think it's better than the original and the Brave. I will commit to this research, so that's why I've continued to eat these chocolate biscuits.
I did try and offer you the rest of the wagon wheels because I do want the cartwheels more.
I mean, you paid for them, so that's kind of fair, but here I am eating all of the biscuits. Doesn't matter how many biscuits I eat or how many you eat.
It's up to you, though.
It doesn't matter how many biscuits, because guess who's got the biscuits now?
No one can understand you. No one knows what you're saying.
Steve from Lara's got the biscuits
now,
Jess.
You sound like a crazy person.
Steve!
Steve from Lara, how are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Steve, are you a big fan of a wagon wheel or a cartwheel?
The Aldi biscuits are the best, seriously.
Yeah,
we go.
I've got to admit, Arnott's can get stuff.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Hey. It's the truth. What do you want from me? Look, if you could talk, mate, you burped on air, mate.
Yeah, that's
true. You've got no legs to stand on at this point.
Normally
you
call
up. You got no legs.
No, I do have legs. You know what I got? I got 4 biscuits in my tummy.
Well, not to stand on anyway. No, you know?
But anyway. Steve is eating so many biscuits, Steve.
So, Steve, here's the thing. Normally you call up.
Oh, my God.
And
you
say some out-of-pocket stuff. And you have...
Listen.
No.
Save me some biscuits. I'll be there in 10 minutes. Okay. See ya, all right?
We close at 5, so the biscuits are ours.
Yeah. Steve, I just want you to know that as Tim has taken bite after bite of biscuit, the biscuit is falling into the keyboard in front of him.
I have sugar.
Tim, what's going on with you today, mate?
Good, bro.
He has to share that keyboard with other people.
All right, Steve, I'm hanging up on you. Okay. No one can understand.
Well, hey, he's our judge. He had the final say, Tim.
No, I bung it. Okay. I bung it, mate. I'm having a laugh, but I'm not unprofessional.
I'm never bringing biscuits into the studio ever again.
I don't understand why, bro. All right,
so much biscuit in the keyboards.
No one's going to be able to give me.
I'm confiscating them.
I'm keeping the car.
Give me the car wheels as well. Timothy.
I'll die before I give you these cartwheels.
If you haven't tried an Aldi cartwheel.
No, it's not an ad for Aldi. It's not an ad for Aldi.
No, it's not.
They could get stuffed.
But do your own taste test.
Yeah.
Trust me.
You know how she gets stuffed?
Give me the cartwheels, Steve.
Steve can get stuffed. You can get stuffed. I'm going to go home. I'm taking the cartwheels. More food-based courtrooms. I like it. Blind taste test for the win. Tim and Jess, the podcast. A bit disappointed, if I'm honest, because when it rains, it freaking pours, man. Not okay.
What happened?
Yesterday on the show, very open and upfront, said, hey, we don't like to come to this show and just have a rant, have a whinge, not our vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we can be sookie sometimes, but not its sole purpose isn't to sook.
You can be a sook, just don't be a sookie la la.
Yes, thank you very much. That is an excellent way to describe it. We talked about yesterday that I wasn't vibing with a certain supermarket where you needed a dollar coin to get the trolley.
Sure.
And it handcuffed me into an uncomfortable situation where no trolley, one toddler, a basket that did not fit the shop, and one very confused and like lack of dollar human being. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is obviously a first world problem, but I understand it's, and you rightly pointed out yesterday, Jess, why that the lock system works.
Yeah, it's so that people return their trolley.
Yeah.
I actually had a moment this morning where I was returning my trolley and a lady was like, oh, did you put a dollar in? Because I can just give you the dollar and you just hand me the trolley. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I have my own Aldi coin.
The coolest girl in the car.
I'm going to need to get that back.
Yeah.
Sorry. But thank you so much.
Well, I saw something that like, it's like I was twitching when this happened, walking from the supermarket. This one you didn't need a coin or whatever, so you could just take the trolleys back to the one in the car park or at the front. And a woman just pushed it from, so she walked from her car, pushed it up onto the sidewalk, into the dirt, stuck in the dirt, and she went,
oh.
And I was like, what are you doing, lady?
Yep.
Then my wife tried to defend her. I was like, who's this stranger that you're defending?
What was her defense?
She was like, oh, you know, like if you park over there, there's no trolley bays, you've got to walk all the way over there. I'm like, that's the game.
Yeah.
Return the trolley, you animal. Were you raised on the planet of the apes? Kmart's doing it now.
The
literally 24 hours after we talk about it. I'm sure that it's been happening for some time.
Yeah.
Maybe I just haven't been to Kmart in a while. That's so un-Kmart-like.
Yeah. Well, no, they do have those baskets. I've nearly walked out with one of those baskets before, but it's got like a little set, security tag on it.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, maybe it is very Kmart. Yeah, no, when it rains, Jess, as I said, it fucking pours. This is not good whatsoever.
Just invest in a coin. It's that easy. Just have it on your keychain. You just pull it off when you need it. You only need one.
You know what we should do? We're heading to Canberra. Okay. Who do we need to speak to? Is it Ambanese?
Albanese.
Is it Scambanese? What's going on here? Is this Dutton? Who is this? What is going on here?
Mm-hmm. That's definitely Ambanese's fault.
I'm freaking upset. Don't want to take it there. But if I see...
I feel like you're the only one complaining about this. I don't know if anyone else that's...
Mate.
This fired up. It's just
a
trolley
cashless
coin.
It's a cashless world.
So get yourself a trolley coin.
Nah, mate. That's what they want you
to do.
It's
what the cool kids
that's
do.
That's what they want. Yeah, you seemed really cool in the car park in the village today, I'm sure.
This is Tim and Jess.
I was on the phone to my mum the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Bernadette.
Yep.
However you want to refer to her. Burner.
Legend.
Yeah. Giver of life. She is a superstar, but I would say one of the things that runs in common with my mum, and it's a good old family joke, is mostly this happens in the pantry, but mum loves missing an expiry date by a solid few years.
Oh.
Like, who wants tacos? And then, like, my brother-in-law and dad get food poisoning because they expired in 2017.
Oh, God.
And they just live in the pantry because, oh, we'll use them, we'll use them. Mm-hmm. Like, you know when you forget?
Don't throw it away.
Do we have taco shells? Oh, buy more. Oh, we already had taco shells. It just gets getting pushed.
I'm notorious.
Further and further
I feel like there's always one person in the household that's very strict on use-by dates and one that's not so strict. And my husband, Akshay, has got iron guts. Like, he's like, oh, a couple of days past the use-by date?
100%.
Who cares?
100%.
Nah, see, I'm very strict. If it says that date on it, I'm not touching it.
Okay.
You know what my guts are like.
You're poopy pants.
That's what your guts are like.
Well, mate, stop pooping your pants. She sent me a photo and I didn't realize that I know that not all of these have expiry dates, but she sent me a photo of a pillow.
Oh.
That was on the spare bed in their house. So not a pillow that's being used super often, but still, it had an expiry date on it.
Oh, yes. I hate when those pillows have expiry dates because it makes me feel bad about myself.
Yeah. 2016.
Yeah.
And so that, and in her brain, she's gone, well, I've probably bought that in 2014.
Yeah.
So it's a 10-year-old pillow that's still on the spare bed.
Yeah.
I.
How often are you replacing your pillows?
the current pillow, like, because you know how, like, if you have the four pillow setup or whatever you set up, you have the decorative one, and then there's like, there's old reliable underneath there doing the hard yards, getting all your oil on your hair and grease and all the muck and everything, your skin flakes. I've had that pillow for 2 years.
Okay.
Because I remember.
That's not too bad.
I remember going to that very Swedish shop up the highway.
Ah, yes.
And it's, and the reason I know is because my this pillow is like teeny tiny and no pillowcase. Pillowcase has like an extra 30% of empty void.
Why is it so small?
I don't know, but it just works for me.
You
I sleep so
did
much
you buy
better
a
on
children's
it.
Pillow?
Nah, it was in the adult section next to all the Legos. But yeah, I've had my pillow for 2 years. But this literally, I think Mum's had this pillow in their spare room since 2014.
Yeah.
So it's 10 years old.
Oof.
And I wanted to open the phones on 52232955. How long you had your pillow for? Might be in the spare room. Might be one that like you're just like, I know that you're manging.
Yeah.
You're filthy.
I've told you about the first time I was at my husband's house when we were just first dating. I think we'd only been dating about a month at this point. And he was like, oh, I just got to put some sheets on the bed. And I was like, oh, I can help you with that. You know, like I want to look domesticated because I want him to marry me.
Right. The war, it's 1914. Make sure your husband has a full belly before he goes off to war.
And I was horrified with what I saw. I was like, when did you buy these pillows?
Were they like the yellow, yellow?
So yellow, Tim. I don't think they'd ever been white.
Yeah.
They were disgusting.
Yummy.
And he told me he'd had them for about 11 years.
Nice.
Yum.
Nice.
Memories.
You met.
We went out and bought them, bought new pillows immediately.
I was going to say, if you slept on them, technically you met him 11 years before you actually met him.
Because
some of him still left over on the pillow.
Don't say that.
52232955. How long have you had your pillows for? 11 years. That's a long. That's a, there's surely no one's rocking around with a pillow that they've had for longer than 10, 11 years. Would love to hear the call though, you dirty grots. No judgment though. 52232955. How long have you had your pillow for?
Kirby in Brimley, you had a similar scenario with your partner that I did with my husband.
Yeah, it was actually an ex of mine a number of years ago, but 11 years. It was all kinds of yellow.
Oh.
Absolutely disgusting. And he didn't want to get rid of it because it was too soft. And I'm like, it's soft because there's nothing left of it, mate.
Yeah,
like,
it's soft because of all the bacteria.
But to me, yellow, I feel like a yellow pillow just looks like it's been worn in. You know, that's like, it's a good, it's like, you know, when the rubber off a tire has come off, you go, yeah, that tire is worn in.
Yeah,
that's
well
good.
Worn.
Yeah.
Drool.
I think.
Oh my God.
I don't want to defend the pillow brotherhood and sisters out there because I feel like I was one of them. And now I'm just lucky that I was taught to make
by
sure.
Your wife.
Yeah, well, she showed me the way, but I've forged my own path in that, right? Because I'm excited to head up the highway to that big Swedish shop and get myself another tiny little pillow. But yeah, Kirby, do you think that was, I was going to say a red flag, do you think that was a yellow flag from the get-go?
Oh my God, yellow flag, that's hilarious.
Thank you. All right, write that one down, Jess.
Kirby, he needed that today.
Stand up to us starts in November, baby.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.